Recording in progress.
It's all the service if we're recording. Sorry. Well, welcome everybody to this morning's service. And we welcome to people on Zoom. Hello. And any visitors we have. And you're welcome for coffee afterwards, because that's when we chat and get to know each other a bit better. To start off with, I just want us to think about why we're here. And I just want to, in the quietness, just bring to God anything that may stop us worshipping God. Things we haven't done, things we've done we shouldn't do, any worries, any concerns, because they can be a barrier for worshipping God. So let's have a few minutes silence just to bring to God the things that may stop us from coming worshipping God this morning. So let's pray quietly just for a few minutes and then I'll wrap it up. Lord, you hear our prayers. Let's just sit and sing 729. We have come into this place. Let's use this as part of our worship and bring ourselves to God before we carry on. Thank you, sir. Amen. I just want to read a psalm. It's Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his acts of power. Praise him for surpassing greatness. Praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and lyre. Praise him with trombones and dancing. I won't ask you to dance, it's okay. Praise him with the strings and pipe. Praise him with the clash of cymbals. Praise him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A wonderful psalm to start worship. We're going to sing again. 5 to 8. Oh, worship the King. Let's sing this with gusto. Oh, worship the King, all glorious above. Thank you, Sue. Can we have our prayers, please?
Let Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come this morning to worship you with praise and glory. We come with open hearts and open minds to listen to your word and to have your word impounded on our hearts, Lord. We just lift all of this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Daddy. And we're going to sing another hymn, just to keep your vocal cords going. It's 132, Father, hear the prayer we offer. I remember singing this at school many times. I don't know how many people know it. Just have, oh, quite a few. We're okay, Sue. We don't have to sing too loudly. Yeah, so it takes me back to my school days. Father, hear the prayer we offer. Thanks, Sue. Have our reading, please. Thanks, Sunny.
Today's reading is John chapter 6, verses 1 to 15. It's on page 1069 of the Pew Bibles. And it's headed, Jesus feeds the 5,000. Some time after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish. But how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself.
Thank you.
Right, you're going to sing again. I hope you're ready for this. We're going to sing 544. "Open my eyes that I may see." Ashburn. We're going to have a look at the reading that Sally read to us very nicely. It's interesting because this parable is actually in all the other Gospels, which is really good because it's, you know, it, the other Gospels fill in the gaps that John doesn't have. And it's quite interesting if you get people to describe a scene, you always get different people putting in different things that is important to them. So it's handy to have the four accounts of the very famous Jesus feeding the 5,000. I'm sure we know it quite well. I'm sure we've all done it at Sunday school at some point or another, or many times at Sunday school. So we're going to sort of unpack it, and hopefully there'll be things that maybe you hadn't thought about as we go through it. So we start with John. I've been doing this from the cover to cover, so I shall dip in all of the Gospels. So, it's, as I say, if you ever read something like this in the New Testament, have a look and see if you can find it anywhere else, because it does help when you're trying to unpack it. So we start with John chapter 1. So it says here, sometime after this, Jesus crossed the far shore of Galilee. And in the other Gospels, it's quite interesting because in Matthew, we have the same thing. When Jesus heard what had happened, he just heard that John the Baptist had been beheaded, withdrew by boat privately to a solitary place. But in Mark and in Luke, we have a different start. We have the apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now, the chapter before, Jesus has sent the disciples out two by two to different towns. So we can gather from this that they had come back and they were telling Jesus what they had done. And again, we have the same in Luke, that they'd come back, reported to Jesus what they had done. So you have two different versions of the same story, and it's good. It's good to read it. And then we have, and a great crowd of people followed him because of they saw the sights he had performed by healing those who were ill. So people had heard, seen, and decided to follow Jesus. Now, in the other Gospels, it said that Jesus wanted to go to a solitary place. But he couldn't go to a solitary place because the crowds followed him. And I don't know about you, that sometimes when you want to do something and you want to be in a solitary place, it's very difficult because other people seem to find you for some unknown reason. And they want your attention. And this happened with Jesus. He wanted to go, as in Matthew and Mark, he wanted to go to a solitary place, but the crowds wouldn't let him. So what did he do? Did he turn them away and say, well, actually, come back next week? Or, you know, let's go round that bit of the mountain and now hopefully they won't follow us. But he didn't. In Mark we have, if I can find it, Matthew. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them. Now, the last thing I have on people who disturb my solitude is compassion. I have to say, that doesn't come into my thoughts of compassion. And I looked up the word compassion because it is used a lot in the Bible about Jesus. And it says, the meaning of compassion is to feel deeply for another person as they experience the ups and downs of life. It's not just saying, but it is also showing you care even before they ask. Now, the last bit, as far as I'm concerned, when I want my solitude, is very difficult. I can say, oh, I'm very sorry, but actually showing. But Jesus showed his compassion by healing them. He could have, as I say, gone the other side of the mountain and decided, no, thank you. But he had compassion on them and he healed them, those who were ill. That isn't in John, but I'm sure it did happen. And so he, as I say, they followed him because of what they knew, and then he healed them and he taught them. And in Mark we have Jesus landed on the shore, compassion to them, and he began teaching them many things. So not only did he heal them, he also taught them, which is great, I think. And then we come to the disciples and we have the human touch. Because Jesus was going to send them away. So the disciples said, well, you can't. You know, they've been here a long time. They need feeding. So Jesus sort of said, well, off you go then, feed them. They were in a remote place. There was no food. So, you know, the disciples said, well, where are we going to get the food? With John, we have Jesus saying to Philip, you know, I lost my place. You know, Jesus said to Philip, well, where should we buy bread for these people to eat? But in the other Gospels, we have a bit more of the conversation. So Mark, we have, but this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. This is a remote place, they said, and it's already very late. Send the people away so they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat. That's quite a good solution to the problem, isn't it? Just send them away and they can find their own food. But he answered, you give them something to eat. Really? What, in this remote place? And then, of course, they said, but, you know, it'll take more than half a year's wages. This is in Mark and again in Luke and John. Sometimes we put our own spin on things, don't we, as the disciples did. We look at things through our own eyes, not through God's eyes. I'm sure, as you know, God had a plan to feed these people, and we find out in John he did. But we put our own spin on it, and we limit God in what he can do. The disciples limited God to what he could do. They had seen the signs before, the miracles, yet they had put a human touch on the situation. We do the same, don't we? I do. I don't know about you. I tend to put God in a little box and think, oh, he can't do that, surely. But we need to see God as God, and that all things for him is possible. And not put God in a little box and put human restraints on him, as his disciples did in this story. And then we come to the boy. This is the boy. He had his fishes and his loaves. If it was me, I'd hid behind a rock and I'd have eaten them. Sharing them wouldn't actually be, you think, oh, all these people. I think I'd just eat them. Nobody would notice, nobody would know. I could just pretend I didn't have any. But he didn't. Now, whether the disciples came and sort of asked him, or whether he volunteered, it doesn't say. But it does say, that Jesus, there was plenty of grass, and then this young lad came up with five, I should know this, I've done this in Sunday school enough times, haven't I? Five barley loaves and two small fishes. And he offered them to Jesus. He gave them to Jesus, and Jesus blessed them. And he gave them to the people to eat. And there were some left over. We need to give what we have to Jesus. To the disciples, there was just this little bit of food. 5,000 people, What, you know, are they going to have, you know, a scale each, a grain each? But Jesus used that, blessed it. But the boy had to be willing to give it. We have to be willing to go to Jesus, give our talents, our time, ourselves. We might not think we have much. Neither did the boy. But he had to be willing to give it to Jesus. And he did. And in Jesus' hands, it got blessed. In Jesus' hand, it became more than it was before. And it managed to bless the whole of the 500 people, plus the women and children. And there was some left over. God needs to use us, we need to be willing to give what we have. If we're willing to give what we have, he will use that to bless other people and us. And there will be lots left over. So the sort of points would be, you know, you have to give what you have to Jesus. You can't, if you want to be blessed, if you want to bless other people, you can't hold it into yourself. You need to give it to Jesus. Jesus will then bless it and he will use it for his kingdom. And there will always be more than enough. And there will usually be left over as well. So if anything about this story, this very familiar story, this is of Jesus finding a solitary place and couldn't, and showing compassion, the disciples putting a human touch on the situation instead of looking to God, to Jesus, for the solution. They could have said, well, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Instead of saying, well, actually, oh, there's no shops, there's no Tesco's around the corner. They didn't have delivery services in those days. But instead of saying, Jesus, what do you want us to do? Here's the situation, what do you want us to do? And to say, to give what we have for Jesus to bless and to use for his glory and for his kingdom. And they are very simple things that I drew out from this reading. They say, go home and, you know, take it and read it as the four Gospels. And God will possibly say to you things that maybe he hasn't said to me, but it's good to read and to think about the whole of the story. So should we pray? Lord, we pray that we will be willing to have what we have and to give to you for you to bless, that you may use it for your kingdom and for your glory, and that it will be enough and more than enough, and have a lot left over, Lord. But in order for that to do, we need to give what we have, that we may bless others in this church and in this community. We think, Lord, of this community and this world. And we pray for this world, your world, Lord, the world that you made and we are destroying. We pray for this community, Lord, that this church may go and be a witness in this community, Lord. Show us places that we need to go. Show us places that you want us to witness to. And may we be a beacon of light in this community, Lord. And Lord, as we had open doors last week, we pray for the Christians around the world who can't come and worship like we have done this morning. They have to worship in secret because of fear for their lives and for their loved ones. And we pray that you will give them the strength and the faith to carry on, Lord. And Lord, may we not take for granted the freedom we have. May we use it for you, Lord. And may we We just take it for granted so often that we can come and worship and we don't have the fear of people knocking on our doors or threatening to put us to prison or to kill our families, Lord. We pray for these Christians that you will bless them and you will just strengthen them, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Thank you. Can we sing hymn? I'm gonna find it. Shall we close with hymn 178? This is Go Forth and Tell. We need to go forth from this building and be Christians 24/7, but we need to go and we need to tell others of Christ. We have, you know, a wonderful story to tell. And we should be full of joy and want to tell people, however hard it may be. So we're singing Go Forth and Tell. Thank you, Sue. Let's pray. O Lord, as we leave this place today, strengthen us in our faith, Lord, and may we be a witness to you in all we do, all we say, and what we speak. We ask this in your holy name. Amen.